Chapter 1. Britain. Early 5th century AD. Fog rolled in from the sea, slip sliding over the estuary before it rested on the hills. Grey the air, grey the sky, the bird songs muffled, as were the chimes of the Sunday bells. Gulls swooped, crying to each other, a sign that the sea was near to offer up its riches. Inland from the estuary and across a meadow was order and prosperity. For the Christianized Britons had learned to consolidate their scattered, windswept dwellings. The circling kestrel, suspended for a moment, would see ordered fields and high, thick hedgerows, while perched on one chimney of a large house, a raven might cock his head to see the matching stone wall that encircled it protectively. The muted bells of the small church echoed against the misty morning and grew quiet as the last stragglers entered the double doors. The church was full on this late summer Sabbath, as it always was, for the small group of Christianized Britons were resolute about their rituals and attended the Mass with serious demeanour and clasped hands. There was the celebration of the bread and wine given by the priest, Pontius, and his assistant, Old John. Pontius looked over his flock with satisfaction until he caught sight of his young grandson, Maewyn Suckett, his head on his chest, fast asleep. The boy was incorrigible. 16 years old, he cared neither for his studies nor for the Holy Church. The rumours of his carousing in the tavern with a rough crowd may have been kept from his parents, but the priest knew the town gossip and despaired for his grandson. He sent a piercing look at the boy, and at that instant, Maewyn shook his head awake and dared to smile his angelic smile. That smile charms the very birds to sing in the trees, thought Pontius, and turned to the altar to elevate the host. Kneeling with hands cupped to receive the bread, men and women listened as Old John intoned in his cracked voice,
"Body of Christ, who sacrificed for thee,"
as he placed the bread in waiting hands. Maewyn had folded his tall body to kneel on the stone floor, his tousled head properly downcast.
"The blood of Christ,"
Pontius almost sang in a low whisper as he offered him the chalice. The boy looked him full in the face, his green eyes wide, and although there was no smile on his lips, Pontius had the uneasy feeling that the lad was laughing. He felt a surge of anger, just for an instant, for the waiting hands of the next parishioner were cupped, and the lovely face of the boy's sister looked up at him with rapt devotion, a lone tear on her freckled face that wrung his heart. It must be the holiness of communion that she deeply felt, the sweet girl. Perhaps a nun's habit will be in her future, for that would be a fitting vocation, coming as she did from a prosperous family. And yes, she wore the golden cross. Pontius shook his head with a resigned air, for he was well aware that she was turning the hearts of the young men of the village. He spun on his heel to the altar to finish the Mass.